Good morning. Welcome to the Black Lands Cafe. I'm John Mark Dempsey. Have a cup of coffee on the house. It's Tuesday, December 8th. Sharing a table in the cafe with us this morning, A&M Commerce Economics Professor Dr. Dale Funderburk. On the Blacklands Cafe Facebook page, following up on veterinarian Carrie McCreary's visit, have you seen that your pets are living long? Let us hear from you. Today's factoid, basketball great Wilt Chamberlain never fouled out of a game. He was also very tall. Did you know that? Yes, very tall. Birthdays, born December 8th, 1542, Mary, Queen of Scots.
I gotta be me. I gotta be me.
Born this day in 1925, Sammy Davis Jr.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
Born December 8th, 1943, Jim Morrison.
Don't let him catch the midnight ride.
Greg Allman is 68. Kim Basinger is 62. Sinead O'Connor is 49 today. This day in history, December 8th, 1941, Congress declares war on Japan one day after the attack on Pearl Harbor. President Franklin Roosevelt spoke to Congress.
No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
This day in 1980, 35 years ago today.
An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous perhaps of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. Hard to go back to the game after that news flash.
Howard Cosell on ABC's Monday Night Football. On the KETR events calendar, the Commerce ISD Winter Arts Festival from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Thursday evening at Commerce High School. Commerce students celebrate the fine arts with art exhibits and drama and choral performances. Vendors will have handmade and commercial goods for sale. For more information, see the events calendar at KETR.org. And our thought for the day is from Sammy Davis Jr., born this day in 1925. Listen to this. Reality is never as bad as a nightmare, as the mental tortures we inflict on ourselves. Our guest at the cafe this morning is Dale Funderburk, professor of economics, State and Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning.
While since we've talked.
It has been.
Yeah. Well, I came across an article on the Texas economy quoting Richard Fisher, the retired president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Texas. I know you're a fan of his. I think you have a Richard Fisher sweatshirt, don't you?
Well, I would have if I could find one. I was really impressed with his tenure as president of the Dallas Fed.
They're kind of like the old Beethoven sweatshirts. But what he says you take seriously, and so I wanted to ask you about some of this. And he's saying that, for all the talk about the downturn in the energy business in Texas, that really Texas has not been hurt all that badly by the downturn.
Right, and it is a case that while with the fall of oil prices there were some very significant layoffs in the energy field, and that, of course, didn't help. That the Texas economy overall was strong enough that it more than offset that we did have good job growth over time.
Mm-hmm. And just 2.5%, he says, of the Texas workforce is employed in oil and gas, and I think most of us probably think it's a good deal more than that.
I think that most people would. When you look at the corporate headquarters that we have in the state of Texas there, such as ExxonMobil, Shell, and others, four of the five are all related. But when you start looking at who are the largest employers in the state, it's not the oil companies. In fact, it's the Walmarts and also hospitals and universities.
Right. And he talks about the fact that offsetting the downturn in the oil business, tourism, banking, high tech, all of these things.
Those have been. And again, if you look at especially areas such as healthcare and education, those mm-hmm. have had large growth. Also, trade has created a lot of new jobs in the state.
You said the largest employer is Walmart, but the largest single employer is
Texas A&M University.
It's at College Station.
Right. And we're talking about one was Walmart. They have over 500 outlets in Texas. But when we look at a location there, it is Texas A&M University. Probably UT Austin's a bit jealous. They're number five on the list.
And then I guess if you looked at the A&M system, then that would be also pretty high on the list.
Yeah, I'm sure it would.
Right, right. Dallas-Fort Worth, Richard Fisher says, is doing very well right down the road from us here.
It has, and when you look at trade, and then in the industrial categories, I break it down in some different ways there, but then you look at financial services as distinct from trade. Both those have been areas of real growth there, and Dallas is strong in those.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dale Funderburk, who's a professor of economics at A&M Commerce, also Austin, San Antonio, doing very well. Houston, obviously not as well because of their close association with the energy business.
That is true. But if you look at the job growth, not only does Fisher point that out, but the Beige Book by the Federal Reserve, which has recently come out, and it gives a very comprehensive rundown, indicates that while rural areas in Texas haven't done so well, if you look at the major metropolitan areas, whether it's Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio, and Houston, those have accounted for the job growth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to ask you about that. He makes a point of saying that rural Texas now not doing as well. And, of course, we more or less live in rural Texas. So a lot of our listeners may say, well, that's fine. You know, the economy, Texas economy is doing great in Dallas, Austin, San Antonio. We're not enjoying so much of that out here in the country.
And that is really a perplexing problem that we have, that when you get into the rural areas, whether it's in South Texas, whether it's in far West Texas or here in East Texas, outside the major metropolitan areas, you haven't had that job growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another part of the article with Richard Fisher, the retired president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Texas, and this has been discussed elsewhere in the news in the last few days, is that he says the Fed should raise interest rates now in the next few weeks.
Their last meeting of 2015 will be 16th and 17th, I believe it is, of December. So coming up soon. If I were a betting person, my money would be that this time they'll actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the fear has been, and their hesitancy in doing this, is that the stock market's going to react very, very badly to it. But are we well enough prepared for it now that maybe that won't happen?
I do believe that enough has been said, enough speeches by Fed authorities have been made, that is already factored into stock prices.
It's got to happen sometime, doesn't it? It can't go on forever.
No, it can't. It's inevitable that it will, and it can. I think that if they did not do it this time, that would be interpreted negatively, saying, well, the Fed doesn't even have enough confidence after all this time to finally pull the trigger.
Well, again, the psychology of the stock market is a fascinating thing.
It is.
Dale, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us.
My pleasure.
Good. Dale Funderburk, professor of economics at A&M Commerce. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station 88.9 KETR.